Hello and welcome back to America Weekend with me, Valerie Smaldone, and friends. If you listen to the program, you know I like to talk about food and wine very often. When you are drinking a nice bottle of wine and you don't want to finish drinking it, just you're done with it, what to do? Well, there are some terrific leftover wine recipes that I thought I'd share with you from Real Simple Magazine. And I do this, by the way, myself. I've been doing this for years, so I'm glad to know it's not a bad idea. Linguine with red wine bolognese sauce. Oh, that's delicious. And I do make that myself. It spices up the beef and the tomatoes, and it's simmered in red wine before topping your pasta. It's a great solution with what to do with that red wine. They also suggest lentil stew with oranges. This sounds so delicious. The flavors of the dish are brightened with the citrus of the oranges. And then you can use a nice dry red wine. Fabulous. So those are two really great recipes for leftover wine. But I want to defer to my fabulous home chef, Kathy Gruen from Butterflower Sugar Salt. She is taking red wine to a new height by adding it to a delicious recipe we all love and enjoy. Listen to this, Kathy Gruen. Kathy?
Thanks, Valerie. It's happening. The temperature the other morning when I woke up was 33 degrees. And that evening, that same evening, it had gone up, but then it dropped back down to the 40s. And it's definitely cold. And when it starts to get really cold, I sort of go into this mode where I want things that are comforting and remind me of my childhood, but maybe more of an adult twist now. And the other night, while I was having a glass of red wine and going through a bunch of papers, I had this overwhelming urge to make brownies. Now, I love brownies, and I always have loved brownies. There's something about the deep chocolate and the simplicity of it that reminds me of my childhood. It was such an ideal childhood treat, especially in school when it was somebody's birthday and a parent would bring in a tray of brownies, or at a bake sale, there'd always be lots of trays of brownies. I've just always loved them. I love them with nuts. I love them without nuts. I love them with some sort of frosting or topping. I love them plain. I love them with maybe a swirl of cream cheese or mixed in with some caramel. I just love brownies. And as I said, I had this overwhelming urge. I had to have brownies. And I pulled out all the ingredients. And while I was making the batter, I kept sipping on my wine. And then all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, could I actually put red wine into my brownie mixture? And the light bulb went off. Why not? Because I was once taught, if you bite into chocolate, then take a sip of red wine, the flavor of the chocolate is intensified, and you really then also get the layering notes of the wine with the chocolate. And I thought, I've got to do this. So I reached for the bottle of wine. I was drinking a really lovely Syrah, and I decided into the brownie batter, I would add, I started with a quarter cup. I didn't want to go all out and add a lot more because I didn't want the brownie batter to become too thin. I still wanted a really rich, fudgy consistency. And I added the quarter cup and I blended it all. And the brownie batter started to have this transformation. Instead of the deep, rich chocolate brown, almost espresso brown that you see in a brownie batter, it took on almost a garnet color. There was like a brownish red color that emanated into the batter. And the smell of the chocolate and the smell of the wine, it really was a match made in heaven. And I proceeded to bake these brownies, knowing full well that the alcohol would definitely bake off, but I wasn't sure what the taste would be when they came out of the oven. Well, the taste was fantastic. The color, as I said, was a really deep claret color. It was a red with undertones of red in it, a brown with undertones of red in it. But then when they cooled and I cut them into their perfect little squares, I bit into the first one, and the taste was incredible. You got the fudgy chocolate brownie flavor, but then as you chewed the brownie and swallowed, you got the peppery, fruity notes from the wine that lingered. And it really was a sophisticated taste. And I could see adding a different wine for different flavors, and I don't know a lot about wines. I'm not going to pretend that I do. So I think the layering flavors of a Pinot Noir might be different, as would a Cabernet. But all I have to say is definitely try this. Make your brownies a little adult and put a little wine into the batter and make up a tray and open up and finish off that bottle of wine. It's a wonderful treat. I could see it as a really wonderful hostess gift. I could see it as, you know, something fun to bring to a potluck dinner. But brownies and red wine are a great combination. And, you know, we cook with wine all the time in our savory thing, so why not add it to something sweet? Give it a try and let me know what you think.
Kathy Gruen from Butterflower Sugar Salt. I'm Valerie Smaldone on America Weekend.
Think green. Harrison with you. Discovery is highlighting the Rodale Institute's research showing organic agriculture can actually remove 7,000 pounds of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere per acre every year. CO2 heating up the atmosphere is the culprit behind the larger problem of global warming. Organic farming uses less water to help crops grow because organic crops don't contain genetically modified genes, which require more water and food to grow. In fact, organic crops are in many ways drought resistant. The reason is chemical fertilizer is like a water sponge, in that plants drink it up every time they're thirsty for water. As long as water is plentiful, they grow just fine, but as soon as water gets scarce, the salt in the chemically fed plants no longer is diluted, reaching toxic concentrations, and the plant stops growing. Tomorrow, weeds and healthier vegetables. From the Greeniverse.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer has the most appearances of any player on the U.S. men's soccer team. And for 12 seasons, he was a fixture with the L.A. Galaxy of the MLS.
To Kobe Jones, a shot and a goal!
So where is Kobe Jones now? Kobe is currently the Associate Director of Soccer for the New York Cosmos and a broadcaster for the L.A. Galaxy. He was also a member of NBC's broadcasting team for the 2012 Olympic soccer matches. Kobe founded the Kobe Jones Soccer League, a Southern California-based 5-on-5 children's organization which teaches Kobe's concepts on youth soccer development.
To be honest, no, I wasn't the best athlete. I was a good athlete, but soccer was my passion.
Kobe Jones, in a league all of his own. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.